אז אני רוצה למסור לכם קצת שיעור עכשיו בעברית לפני שאנחנו מתחילים. אני רוצה להגיד לכם סיפור. I have a Rebbe, I told you about, השם שלו רב דוד כהן שליטה, ראש ישיבת חברון. כשבאתי לארץ ישראל בתור אברך, I was a newly married young man. היה לי הזכות ללמוד איתו. הוא לא היה אז ראש ישיבה. He wasn't then ראש ישיבה, ולמדנו בחברוסה, סדר ערב. והיה לנו קצת קושי, we had a little bit of a problem, because אני דיברתי רק אנגלית, והוא מדבר עברית ויידיש. Now, when I was a bocher, that's when I got to know him, so it took me like 3 minutes to get my question out as I stumbled and all over my questions, and I bring people over to help me, and you know, but eventually we worked it out. But if you learn as a chavrusa, you can't do that. It's just, you know, it takes too long. So gaitnish. Now I learned in yeshiva the pasuk, and Dalton yeshiva migaland yiddish, and I'm verstanden genug yiddish. It's mekeret yiddish. I'm gezog zum Reb. So yiddish. Yiddish is doch sei. It's a yiddish sprach. If I stay. So I said, let's speak in Yiddish. It's fun. He grew up with Yiddish also. Yiddish is such a fun language. It's a lichtung. It's verbundet zusammen. And we can einpflanzen. You know, the Yiddish Ashkof is al kuponim. I said, let's speak Yiddish. He said, what am I doing? Look, and you tell the baby Ivrit. Lemon Ivrit. Even though his Sfat Ha'im, his mother tongue, was Yiddish. What am I doing? I'm going to go to the Aretz. I'm going to learn Ivrit. He said, you come to Eretz Yisrael and you have to learn Hebrew. That's it. You know, all these Americans that are all day, all they do is speak English. You know, I get into the taxi and the taxi wants to speak to me in English because he wants to practice English. And I'm not going to speak to him in Hebrew because I'm practicing Hebrew. So I'm speaking a broken Hebrew. He's speaking a broken English. You know, it's understanding anyone else. But that's what I used to do. Whenever I went into a taxi, I'd speak to him in Hebrew. And it was always like a thing if I ever, if I was able to get the taxi driver to think I wasn't American. I was like, to me, like, you know, like I made it. He's like, ma, tell me a guy? I'm like, no, me? Ma, no. No, one time he thought I was like Sephardi. I was like, where is that coming from? I don't look Sephardi, I don't talk Sephardi. Anyway, no offense. I thought I was a Chalabi. Why would he think I'm a Chalabi? Anyway, kitzer, I didn't even tell you, is it kedai ללמוד עברית? אז אנחנו עכשיו, יש לנו שיעור אחד בכל השבוע, שזה בלושן קודש, שזה בעברית לושן קודש, something in between, between the psukim that we're speaking, between the little sprinkles of English that we have. אז אנחנו נלמד קצת עברית, נכון? לא סוף עולם. At the end of the world, we'll learn some Hebrew. אז בוא נדבר בעברית. You ready? Okay. אז אני רוצה להגיד לכם קצת background על הפרשת השבוע, על הספר במדבר, ונתחיל ככה. במדבר, כלל ישראל יצאו למדבר מיד אחרי יציאת מצרים. אז אני רוצה להגדיר מה היה קרה במצרים, ואני אצא אחר כך להבין מה כל the theme של ספר במדבר, כדי שאנחנו נבין מה קורה עכשיו. זה התחיל לפני יציאת מצרים, היה שיבוד במצרים. There was the enslavement. אז מה היה ה-enslavement? זה היה תחס פארו, היה מושל. Paro, the one that this is the idea. Havo neschak maloi, Paro made this whole thing and he got them into it. And Paro was, he was big, he was a big part, he was a big player, Paro. And Keneged Paro was Moshe Rabbein. As אני רוצה להסביר לכם שזה לא סתם מוישה and Paro were like just two different people. There was one and there was the other and there was like the antithesis and there was something going on. There was a dynamic between the two of them. זה ככה. כתוב בספרים הקדושים והאריזל שמה שקרה במצרים היה שבאיזשהו אופן, somehow, there's a בחינה of the Dibor being in Golas. מה זה בדיוק אומר? קשה להבין. אבל a little bit because the Dibor was in Golas. What separates a man from an animal? מה החילוק בין אדם לכל הבהמות?
דיבור.
דיבור. And as much as they tell you animals communicate, a hin and a hair, it doesn't compare at all to dibur. There's no animal that has any dibur, and they've been trying for years and years, and dolphins communicate, and this communicates, and that communicates. There's no language. They haven't picked up the language. They don't know what it is. There's no such thing as you could just like make a sound so a dolphin can tell a dolphin, you know. There's no communication is beyond us. The only communication that there is in this world is dibur as humans. And somehow we became subhuman to the point that our dibur was in galus. There was something wrong with the way that we were speaking, something with the Tzuras Adam that was happening. The dibur was in galus. If you look, Klal Yisrael, they were in pain. They were being enslaved. Makatuf, vayizaku, vayonchu, vatal sha'avosam elokim. Lokatu vayispalalu. Yispalalu is there were words. The tefillah didn't have any words to them. Or the words were not coming out with meaning because Klal Yisrael lost their power of speech. It was defective. Something wrong with the way that they were speaking. There was a problem with the dibur. That's what was happening. It had to be reconstructed. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu, he fled from Mitzrayim. Vaya bagalut. Lama? Makara? Because he vayetze alechav, vayar b'simloisa, and he saw an ish mitzri, it was maki ish ivri. Mawasa? What did he do? He killed him. Killed him. The Shem Mepharish. Sam! Killed him. And then the next day he came out and he saw there's two people fighting, two Yidin, and he says, you know, Lama Sakariacha, why are you hitting your friend? He goes, you're going to kill us too? Ooh, boy. He felt threatened. He knew they were going to go tell the king. Now I know that people, it's been, it got out that I killed the Mitzri. I got to get out of here. Moshe was a fugitive and he left Bigalot. But there's a Rashi that says, Achin Noida Hadover means the thing is known. Which Rashi says, Moshe says, now I know why we're in Galut. Now I understand what's going on over here. Because there's daliturion in Klal Yisrael. There's people that are ratting on their friends, informants, people that are speaking Lashon Hara. They're going to go tell power right now. That's what happened, right? Because they don't know how to use their power of speech. That was the problem. Everybody said, okay, we're going to Galus. This is why this whole thing's happening. Because we got messed up power of speech. So who is the king that was like controlling them? Who was the Moshel that was causing all of these tzarot? His name was Pyro. Pyro, if you read it differently, is Pera. Pera. What does Pera mean?
Wild.
What? No, that's you right. That's what's it called? Pera Odom. The two words. Pe? Ra. What does Pe mean?
Mouth.
What does Pe mean? Mouth. Ra, evil. It's the evil mouth. That's what power was. And it says power told Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, I want to tell you something about Jewish people. Okay, in history, you'll check this all the time. The Jewish people are the most loyal and, what's the word I'm looking for? A person that's very nationalistic. It's another word.
Patriotic.
Hey, ma'od patrioti. Klal Yisrael, very patriotic. Always that way. Americans, they're all into America. Germans, they're all into German. It was like that way. You know that there was a lot of Jews that actually voted for the Nazi Party because the Nazi Party was very... very nationalistic and patriotic. Like, yeah, we're patriotic. And they like kind of like ignored all the rhetoric, you know, all of the hate the Jew stuff. But a lot of Jews voted for the Nazi Party. It's crazy, but they're always extremely patriotic people. So what's Pyro comes and says, oh, we got to be afraid because they're going to kill us. They're not killing you. They're going to fight for you. Jewish people fight for everything. They're always helping everyone. That's the way they are. But Pyro spoke Lashon Hara. He was the Pe-Ra. Because Klal Yisrael, their Koyach of Dibro was messed up. And that's why Klal Yisrael's savior, Moshe Rabbeinu, had only one flaw. Hayalo chisaron. He had a mum. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's mum? Huh? His mouth. He was an aral peh, ras vasayim. He had a deformity. And as a matter of fact, after Klal Yisrael got out, and after Klal Yisrael got the Torah, you know what happened? What?
He was healed.
Because it was only because he was representing Klal Yisrael. Once they got out of it, he got out of it. That's what happened. Now, as Klal Yisrael got out of Mitzrayim, they still were struggling a little bit with their Koyach HaDibur. And through the entire Sefer Bamidbar, what we're going to see is a lot of problems with Dibur. Anyone think of a problem that happened with Dibur in the Sefer Bamidbar? If you know where in the right, Achshav Matchinim Sefer Bamidbar. But if you know what happened, it's not Bamidbar. Nosoy Kvar. Miriam. What happened? That's about Lashon Hara. Miriam spoke Lashon Hara Moshe, complaining the Misoininim. There's a very big one. The Miraglin. That's a huge one. Moshe Rabbeinu Also, big no-no Moshe Rabbeinu did. I mean, of course, we can't say that, but it was Moshe Rabbeinu's big chet. Was Moshe Rabbeinu's big chet?
Supposed to
speak to the rock. He didn't do it. They keep on being slip-ups with Dibor. Of course, it's a little bit, you know, on their level. Our slips isn't much big, but this whole entire Sefer is trying to, like, get your Dibor in check. How does the Sefer end? Sof Shel HaSefer speaks about the Parsha of Nedarim. What's the Parsha of Nedarim? The end of the Sefer is... in the end, in Matos, right before Maaseh, and Matos speaks about of Nedarim. What's the Koyach of Nedarim? Person said something, becomes a Neder. What are we trying to end up? What's the lesson? What's the Lekach? What's the Musa we're trying to say? You be very careful with what you say. You can create a reality. If I would say right now, this thing is usher to me, bang, I cannot touch it ever again. How'd that happen? Because your Dibor is so powerful. And that's what the whole Sefer Bamidbar is about. Now listen to this very, very deep analytical idea that I heard from Rabbi Moshe Shapiro, Shiever. Tikachat Amila. Midbar. This entire Sefer is called Midbar. Everything happened in the Midbar. What word is kind of like there underneath?
Davar.
Davar and Daber. Right. Dibor. Last night, Rabbi Becher was speaking, I think, a little about sand dunes. Mayesh b'midbar. Shum klum. Nothing. Right? You want to give someone directions in a midbar. How do you give someone directions in the midbar?
Go over the rock and look at the...
You can't really, right? Go over the third rock, and then when you turn left at the rock, and you see another rock, then you turn right, it's like, there's nothing there. There's nothing. There's like a cactus tree, you know? I was once talking to a guy, I'm like, how do you make your way around over here? He says, I just know it. It's like, you know, you can't explain. You cannot tell someone, give someone directions in a midbar. Midbar is Mei Dibor. What does that mean? From Dibor. It's removed. You remove, you gotta like, okay, we're gonna take away the Dibor. We're gonna try to reconstruct it. Because we got like filthy mouths. We gotta just like shove that down and try to rebuild it. That's what happened in the Midbar. Because Rebbe says, listen, you guys don't know how to use your, you're not sure how to build your, you use your language properly. So we're going to like try to put everything, silence everything, Mei Dibor, and then rebuild it. And that's the end of Sefer Bamidbar. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, okay, listen to what happens when you speak. You make a neder, you make a shavua. It's a serious business. We have to be very careful with the words that we say. That's Sefer Bamidbar. That's what happens through the entire Sefer Bamidbar. So what does it say over here? The parasha begins by Davar Hashem Moshe b'Midbar Sinai b'Amoid b'Echad Chodesh Hasheni Shana Hashenis Letzeis Amerik Mitzrayim Leimor Su'u Es Roish Kol Adat B'nei Yisrael Mishpachosam Leveis Avosam. So the first thing is Su'u. What does Su'u mean? Ma Pirush Shalemila Su'u.
Lift up.
Lift up. What do you mean? We're picking everyone up. We're not picking everyone up. What are we doing? We're counting. I'm counting. Kabilu Yos Chushbono Katuv B'Targum. Kabilu yos chushbana means that you should get the number, the amount. Counting. Su'u es roish kol adas b'nei Yisrael means count them. The mishpachos lo based on voice. We count them based on their families. There it is. So why are you calling it lifting them up? Ramesh Feinstein omer kach. Vetzel lasbir od davar. Vetzel lasbir. Lama tamid. Kol shana b'midbar comes before Shavuos. Every year b'midbar comes before Shavuos. Lama. As omer kach. Tishma. It's a word nefla. He says, you know, people tend to think of themselves as insignificant in the grand scheme of things. You know, how important am I really? Why does a person not get up for shachris in the morning? Because, okay, you know, my shachris, I mean, you know, I do daven, I don't daven. It's a very famous, you know, joke, I'm sure. You know, there was once a town, there was only 10 people in the town, and every day everyone made sure to get the minyan. Finally, the 11th person moved in, I was so happy, now we have 11, next day, no minyan. I mean, okay, we don't need me anymore, you know what I mean? My tefillah is not that important. But if a person would realize everything, wow, you know how important I am? So then it would be a whole different mashmalot to his tefillah. It's a whole different mashmalot, it's a whole different meaning to his tefillah, to his learning, to his davening, everything would make such a big difference. But we don't give value to ourselves. yeah, there's people out there that they're davening, you know, or Don Segal, you know, or Chaim Kanievsky, or the tzaddikim, they're davening for sure. There is a davening important, but I'm barely, you know, get the words out. I don't even know what I'm saying. I don't even have kavana, blah, 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 whatever it is. Yeah, it's not so important. And my learning is not so important. And everything is not so important. I'm going to try, but whatever. That's a person's biggest chisaron. He doesn't realize his importance. What the minion is supposed to teach us, and Hashem keeps counting us over and over and over again. Hashem says, counts us, and he counts us. He's going to tell us something. He says, hey, you know, listen to what we're counting over here. We're counting Moshe, Aaron, we're counting Hur, counting Nadav and Avihu, we're counting Isamar, Pinchas, we're counting all the Nesim, and we're counting everyone there, and all the little people, everyone is being counted, and they're all counted the same. It's not like Moshe Rabbeinu gets like, okay, we have 7 VIPs, and we have 7 IPs, and then we have, you know, everyone's counted the same. Because Baruch Hu loves everyone, and he needs every one of us. We're all important, equally important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it counts everyone as one. And if Moshe Rabbeinu was told, listen, you know Yankel Shmerel that sits in the back over there, that guy? I want you to kill him. If you don't kill him, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're gone. Christ was no more leader. What's the din? What is Moshe Rabbeinu supposed to do? He's supposed to let himself get killed. Say, I can't kill Yankel Shmerel. What do you mean? But Klal is going to lose their leader. What's why? Says the Gemara. My chazis tidamach tidach sumak tvei. Who said your blood is redder than his blood? What do you mean? It's talking about Moshe Rabbeinu and Yankel Shmerel. How could you compare the two of them? Because Klal loves every single one of us. We're all his children, and that's what the minion is supposed to tell us. Everyone is counted as one. Therefore, it's a hisnaasus. So, it's an uplifting experience. When you get counted, you're supposed to feel important. And if you're not there by Shachar in the morning, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, where is he? Where is he? My son, where's his davening? Every one of us is the same thing. It doesn't make a difference if you're sitting on the Mizrach, or you're sitting on the back row. It's like Hashem is waiting for your tefillah. And a person realizes that, then it's a whole different approach. A person realizes how important his Torah is. It's a whole different approach. So, that's why before Shavuos, we want to get this message clear. I want to share with you a story. Well, you heard it from me before, well, you didn't hear it from me before. I'll tell it to you again. There was a Yid, his name was Rav Pluchak. Rav Pluchak is a Yid who lived in, I heard this story from Nachman Seltzer, and then I heard it also from Pesach Kron, and then I heard it from myself a few times. His name is Rav Pluchak. Rav Pluchak had a machanchen koil in the mountains. So it's all the machanchen during the year, they all have yeshivas. And they have a koil for the machanchen in the mountains, a really nice place, and a lot of people come to learn it. They were big time, chum, rabbonim, my bitzin Torah, all these things came from the koil. He was in charge of the koil, and in the back of the koil, he saw this one Yid who was sitting with his article Gemara. Clearly not a machanach. But comes every day, sits in the seat. So he said, you know what? I'm going to go over Shalom, say Shalom Aleichem. Comes over, sits down, says Shalom Aleichem. My name is Pluchak. This is, you know, I'm in charge of, you know, the club. Just noticed that you've been coming every day, and, you know, I'd like to meet you. He said, I hope you don't mind. He said, of course you don't mind. I'm very happy to have you here. I just want to know, what your story is. He says, listen. He said, you know, I've been a simple Jew my whole life. And just recently I've been diagnosed with a very serious illness. And I said, you know, I don't know how much more time I have. So I'm going to start doing things that have more meaning. So I decided I'm going to sit and learn. So it's okay. I was sitting there and learning. And Rav Pluchak was very happy to have me. And the summer's going on. And after a while, he notices that the man stops coming. So he calls him up on the phone. He says to him, is everything okay? So he says, not really. He said, my illness is getting worse. And and besides, you know, I was thinking, you know, I could come to this place, my vision. You have all these Talmidei Chachamim and Rabbanim, and I'm still struggling with my art school Gemara. I barely understand what's going on. Does it really make a difference if I play? Does it really make a difference? So Pluchak was very thrown. I mean, the person was clearly going through a lot in his life, and he wanted to have an answer for him. He said he had tremendous yachta d'shmaya. Because the night before, he heard a story, and he told him this story. You heard a story about a composer, an Italian composer by the name of Toscanini. I heard this story because Pesach Kron brought a group to Italy, and I listened to their, to their program. And he telling the story in Italy because Toscanini was an Italian composer. He was a very famous member of the symphony and philharmonic, whatever it was. And he was the person who used to stand up there, and he brought, you know, he was a conductor. He was extremely famous, one of the greatest conductors ever. And he had a biographer who was trying to record his life. And he would go with him different places, and he would interview him, and he was trying to get a flavor of who this person Toscanini was. He called him up one night, and he said, "Mr. Toscanini, I would like to come." I think his first name was Oscar, but I'm not sure. "I'd like to come speak to you tonight, as we've been doing in the past." He says, "I'm sorry, tonight I'm not available." He said, "Why not available?" He said, "I'm not available." He said, "Is there anything that I should know about?" He said, "Listen, I'm not available." So he said, "Well, can I just know? I'm your biographer." He said, "Okay, well." He said, "There's a very big performance tonight, and I've conducted this performance before. I can't be there because I have to be in Italy, but I'm getting it on shortwave radio, and I'd like to listen to it, and I can't be disturbed. I can't have anyone else there because it's going to disturb me, it's going to distract me. I need to listen." So his biographer said, "Well, this is a great opportunity for me to actually be able to be there and watch you as you are listening to a performance. He said, "I'm not available. You can't come. I can't have anyone else there." He said, "Please, Mr. Toscanini, I promise you, I'll stand in the corner. I won't bother you at all. I'll be invisible. I just want to be able to be in the room when it happens." He said, "You're going to bother me?" He said, "I won't bother you. I promise you, I'll come before. I'll just stand there, and you won't even know I'm there." "Fine, you can come." He comes to the room. He stands in the corner, and Toscanini is like, he's hovering over the shortwave radio. Puts both hands on his head. He closes his eyes. And he's listening, and he listens through the entire performance. At the end of the performance, he opens his eyes. The biographer comes over. Says to Mr. Toscanini, "That was amazing, just watching you, the way that you were so focused on the performance. How'd you like it?" He said, "The performance was excellent. But," he said, "there was supposed to be 20 violins playing, and there was only 19. He said, "Mr. Toscanini, I heard the performance. There was violins, and there was trumpets, and there was all different types of things. There was 19 and not 20. Are you serious?" He said, "Yeah." So the biographer said, "Okay, I got to see if this guy's for real." And he called up the company that was in charge of putting together the performance. He said, "Tell me, how many musical instruments were there?" He said, "There was 120 instruments. Well, actually, 119. There was supposed to be 20, but one violinist didn't show up. So it was only 19. So he went back to him and he said, "I have to owe you an apology because I thought you were out of your mind. You could listen on shortwave radio and hear if there's 19 or 20 violinists and an accompaniment of 120 different musical instruments. How could it be? I thought you were crazy. I just want you to explain to me, how were you able to pick that up?" And he said to him, "Let me explain the difference between me and you." He said, "When you listen to music, you listen like you're part of an audience. You don't necessarily pick up all the nuances. I'm a conductor, and a conductor has to know every single member that's in this concert to make sure that they're doing their job. So I have to listen to every nuance, and there's nothing that I could miss. A conductor hears everything." That's the story. So Rabbi Pluchak told this older man who was suffering from his illness, he said, "Look, could be to us. You look relatively important. You're right, there's so many people over there, you know, that are making a lot more noise than you are. Maybe they have larger instruments. But to the conductor of the universe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he hears every single sound." So this person came back to the Kabbalah. And he was sitting there with his Otzko Gemara, just like before. And then a few weeks later, he disappeared. So Rabbi Pluchak called him up again on the phone. And his son answered the phone. And the said, how's your father?
He said, I have to tell you the truth, my father passed away.
He said, but I want you to know that for the last few weeks of his life, every day he woke up and he said, I am performing for the conductor of the universe. And if a person has the type of attitude, so then I'm important. I'm extremely important. And my tefillah is important and my davening is important. And that's the difference between a really great person and a simple person. It's a person that realizes he is important. I'll share with you one more story. This is a great one. This is a story for Yari Weinstein. This one I can say in Hebrew. No, it's not from Yari Weinstein. It's from Chaim Walder. Chaim Walder's Sipur Kacha. I suggest you do this. The Bachram Yeshiva did the following trick on their friend. They played a prank on their friend, which is as follows. They were the boys in Yeshiva in Israel, and they sent someone over to their friend, called them up and said, listen, you know, I got a cousin who's not feeling well. Do you mind davening for him? Sure. So he gives him the name, calls him up a few days later. Oh, did you daven? I davened. Oh, thank you so much. They got better. It's amazing. Someone else called up, you know, do you mind davening? Someone that hasn't had children for a long time, do you mind davening? Sure, come in. Calls them up, thank you so much for davening. They had, unbelievable, they had children. And they got a few different people to call him until it became like, he became the guy. He's like the tefillah man, right? And all of a sudden, everyone's calling up with tefillah and everything. And he's like, he's got all these names and he's davening Shemayin Esri. He's got like davening for this one, davening for that one, and davening for everybody. And then, so finally they said, okay, let's let the cat out of the bag. And I said to him, listen, the whole thing's a joke, okay? You're just like one of us, you know? You're a regular guy, your tefillah is like... He's like, he said, no, it's not a joke. Like, yeah, it's a joke. He said, it's not a joke. They got him to believe in his tefillahs to the point where he was very serious about it. Now, I suggest you do this to your friends because this is the greatest service you can do to them, because the truth is that he's right. It's just, we don't believe, like, okay, Hashem can give it to me. You don't really care. If you care, you wouldn't daven that way because you don't believe Hashem's really going to give it to you. You don't understand the importance and the power of who we are. Su'u esroish kodas b'nei Yisrael. Lift them up to let them understand how important they really are. And the problem with why everyone's running to Rebbe's all the time for brachas and skulas and all this, you know what? What the problem is? It's because I can't do anything. I'll go to him, he'll do it. What about you? A person goes to Rebbe very often. The problem is he's saying, you know, I'm not important enough, or I don't have the work, but more than that, I can't daven. But if we have to try to do it ourselves. The pasuk continues and says, means to their houses of their fathers. Hagon mivilna, b'sefer perushi agro al ha-toira, u'amer kacha. Hagon mivilna amer. She, Klal Yisrael is counted. Their mispar is kifi base avoisam according to their fathers. Masha enke, it's a goyim. The yachas of the yichus of the goyim is by the mothers. It brings down that when we're discussing the isra of arayas, so how do you decide? Goyim also have an isra arayas. How do you decide who's they're related to? Based on the mother. The klal yisrael is based on the father. It was always based on the mother. Ma'apshat, is it? No. Why is it called Yisrael by the fathers? It was always by the mothers. It was Umer Kacha. Umer Chelek Achad, I want to say. Umer, Yodua, that when the mother and father create a child, so Chalakim from the father, of the child come from the father, Chalakim come from the mother. What comes from the mother? The Basar, the Gidim. What comes from the father? Atzamos. Correct? Now, when a person dies, what's the first thing that rots?
Atzamos.
What's the first thing that rots?
Flesh.
It's the flesh. Then you're left with bones. It takes a long time for the bones to rot. As a matter of fact, there's one bone that never rots.
Lose
bones. As Klal Yisrael sheyesh lehem tchia, the Klal Yisrael is going to have tchias amesim, hem shayachim la'av. Because they're going to come back in the next world. So they need the bones. The bones is really what they're about, because their bones are going to come back. They're like the flesh, which is just rotted and done with. That's what the little guy says. So what's the pshat? We're shaykh to av and shaykh to em. Ma chiluk bin av le'em? Chiluk bin av le'em u kacha. Ha'em is kulo ahava. Kulo ahava. B'li shum drishot. Mothers don't usually demand. in the classic dynamic between a mother and a father, and it doesn't always work that way always, but classically, the father is the authoritative figure, and the mother is like the soft, you know, more of the, you know, the easy accepting figure. Not always like that, but that's classically. Umas Eilon, relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, there's no expectation. Hashem doesn't expect from them. They don't have tired mitzvahs. No expectation. Hashem put us in this world and finished. But by Klal Yisrael, there is an expectation that Klal Yisrael has from, that Hashem has from us. He expects from us. That is a bechina of Av. I once heard from Rabbi Stark that he heard from, I think from Noach Orlowick, that a Rosh Hashiva is supposed to be an Av and a Mashkiach is supposed to be an Aim. Mashkiach's like, you know, just like it's all good, you know. And the Hashiva is the one who's supposed to get, you know, get in trouble over there. So, but the point is like this. The Klal Yisrael has a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avinu Malkeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know you have expectations of us. I know the things that you want of us. And when Hashem has expectations, there's reward. It's just like, it's like a aim, you know, everything goes bust of the mother. It's all like, you don't expect anything. So therefore, they're nimna that way. They don't have tchia le'asir lavo. I want to finish with one last thought. It's time to go. Pasuk says that all Klal Yisrael is being counted as expression. And they're all counted together, and then there is a collection of all the numbers. Do you know what the number is? How many people are in Klal Yisrael? 603-550. Excellent. 603-550. Chutz min alavim. V'alavim lo haspoktu b'soichem. Alavim v'dafka not counted together with all Klal Yisrael. Lama. Lama shelo lespor tel avim im kishar klal yisrael. That's the reason.
Hashem's personal guard. There's two reasons.
The last year. What's the other reason?
The other reason was
ego. The ego. So one reason is because they're kilo, they're shayach to Kodesh Baruch Hu. They have their own. They are Kodesh Baruch Hu's elite force. The other reason is because everyone that was counted in this misfar is all going to end up being punished because of the chet ha'ego. Therefore, we don't want the being captain. Now, listen to this, because that is a very important idea. You ready? Regachat. Let's go back to what happened to the ego. Who did not sin in the ego at all?
Levim.
Mila Shem Elai, all the Levim were there. Why would they get punished, the ego, if they're counted with Klal Yisrael, if they didn't do anything wrong? Why? So says the Rachaim HaKadosh, you see from here a very big insight. If a person is nichlal in a tzibor, is part of a society or of a group, even if you are innocent, you are guilty by association. Anytime a person is a part of something, that itself is enough reason for him to be punished. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, listen, we're going to leave the Levim out of here. We're not putting them together with them. You put someone together, that automatically is a reason for a person to get punished. So when we say, harchek meshachein ra, ve'al tischaber l'rosha, as he was saying, he's got to stay away. Even if you say, you know, whatever, he's not necessarily having an influence on me, or we're not doing bad things together. You just being together with them, you associating with them, gives cause for you to therefore be punished. And the opposite is also true. Chaim Shmulevitz Amar Kacha. Haya harbei tzadikim that were niftar b'shoah. Zman shel din. Haya harbei not tzadikim. In the Mir Yeshiva, kanireh gam az, lo kulam ayu mi yodei ma. Not everyone in the Mir Yeshiva was who knows what. There were some people that were, you know, mediocre. Just say that. Even less than mediocre. But let's say mediocre. And they were saved. Why were they saved? says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, because they were shaykh to a tzibur, and that tzibur was nitzal. You mechaber yourself to a tzaddik. Mechaber yourself to a group of good people. Even if you don't necessarily deserve it on your own. But because you're part of that, you're going to get that tzchus. So because they were shaykh, the mere yeshiva was saved. Lock, stock, and barrel. Kula. And the opposite is also true. A person who connects himself with bad people, they lose it. And that's a very important message which we have to realize. Is we have to try our hardest to identify with good people, connect ourselves with good people, keep yourselves in the company of good people. And that's chut, we should be zoicha, every one of us, to always have aliyah, v'yirat shamayim, shabbat shalom.